Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, 9:40 on this Tuesday morning. You know, in this era of political divide, when it feels like government just isn't even working anymore, it's a good idea to take a step back and see how it has worked for many, many years. And our next guest has really had a front row seat and witnessed a lot of history and has written about it now in a political memoir called This Country, My Life in Politics and History. Joining us right now to talk about this is Chris Matthews. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be on this big day because I got a book coming out today, as you say, This Country, My Life in Politics and History, that's just on the market today.
Now, it's so exciting. What made you, I want to find out what made you want to write this book, but what made you want to get into politics in the first place?
You know, that's a great story. You know, I remember when I was 5 years old, and I was at a movie. In the old days, you know, people went to the movies about two or three times a week sometimes. And my dad worked downtown for the city government in Philadelphia. And he would have sometimes get an afternoon off, and he took us to the movies. And I'm watching a newsreel, an old-time newsreel, and a very impressive military guy's getting off a plane or getting on a plane. And this is about 1952. And I said to Dad, is he president? And he said, no, but he will be. And that was Dwight Eisenhower, who was head of NATO.
Wow.
Had won the war in Europe against, accepted the Nazi surrender. And I guess that was the first political memory I had. And then, of course, Kennedy emerged in 56 against Kieffhofer. And I was listening to that in the car radio, rooting for this guy named Kieffhofer, because I'd never heard of the guy Kennedy. And, of course, then I learned about him through Navy Log and his war heroes and all that stuff. And I guess, you know, I just got interested in it. I've never been able to figure out why, because when I listen to some talk radio late night, sports radio, and people know that the third stringer on some football team, and they know his contract is 3 years and not two, and the stuff they know is amazing. I'm like that with politics. I do know a lot of it because I care about it. And I care about the country. I'm not big on local. I've always been focused on this country, like Harry Truman used to call it, this country. Mm-hmm. And I love world affairs. I love being able to be at the Berlin Wall when it was coming down, or in South Africa when they had their first elections, and being on, of course, up in Air Force One with Jimmy Carter when he was fighting for his life, and with Tip O'Neill when he's in the back room. But you're asking about, was politics, does it work? I know it works. It worked for most of our history. We had some great presidents. How many countries have Lincolns and FDRs and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson? We've had Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower and Kennedy, you know, and Reagan in many ways. I mean, we've had some really amazing presidents. So our system does work. And by the way, they don't hate each other when you get in the room with them. I mean, they don't. You know, I think, what's his name? Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden. These guys are buddies. They're in the same business. They may be on different sides of the fight. But the trouble with politics now, it used to be, this is the one thing that's changed. It used to be that we would elect Republicans when the Democrats blew it. The Democrats would get corrupt or do something wrong in a big city. Okay, it's time for a Republican governor. Right. Come and clean and come in here. Or the other way around. Now, instead of keeping the other side honest, they try to keep the other side from getting successful. If they see the other side about to pass something that's going to make them look good, they screw it up. That's what's changed. Neither side, the game is screw the other side. Scorched earth. Make sure the other side doesn't get a win. Yeah. And that's why the filibusters become so key. Don't let the other side get something passed that's going to make them popular in the next election. So I think that's one bad trick, and it's just bad politics. And I don't know how we get past it, but it's especially bad on the Republican side where they're saying these elections. I guess it started lately with Trump saying that Obama was an illegal immigrant. He wasn't here legally. He was born in Africa. Or this last two-thirds of the Republican Party now this last week said they think Biden wasn't elected. Well, he was elected. If you don't like him, try and impeach him. He was elected. He is president. Let's stop with that third world stuff of saying the last election didn't happen. I mean, that is new. I don't know how we're going to get past that.
I don't either, because that was going to be my next question. How do we get past it? I don't think we know. Talking with Chris Matthews, his book out today is called This Country, My Life in Politics and History. Chris, what informed your political outlook when you were young and just getting interested and involved in politics?
Well, I have to credit William F. Buckley, of all people. William F. Buckley Jr. in National Review. I was pretty conservative as a kid. I really like Hillary Clinton was, too. Another example of somebody who made their mind shifted a bit. He was very big on libertarianism, which I'm still big on. I believe in freedom as maximum freedom as a person can have. I think the more that you decide your own life, the more agency that you take, the more you're responsible, the better you are and the better the country is. We should be a country of millions of free people, and the less regimentation, the better. I can't wait for this pandemic thing to be over. I have no muscle memory for a mask. I have to remind myself every time. I don't want a muscle memory. I want to do these things because we have to do them, and we'll get over them. I don't like being regimented. And I think most Americans want to have their own car, their own house, their own life, if they can.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it. We're cowboys at heart, and I think that's the good thing about it. The very good thing about it.
Yeah, how much,
I think freedom's very important.
Well, how much of an effect do you think this pandemic has had on our political climate right now?
Well, I think the politicians who handle it well have been recognized. I mean, for a while we thought Andrew Cuomo handled it very well. He was doing his daily press conferences. They were very popular. Hey, Rudy Giuliani was popular during 9/11 when he would talk to the press about what was happening every moment. People want, here's what I learned again. When I'm growing up in Philadelphia and there was a four-alarm fire, the mayor, the police chief, and the fire chief all were standing there on the curb when the cameras came by 11 o'clock news. They were there telling you how the fire was going, when they're going to get it out, and that. The American people still want to see their politicians accountable, out front, not a bunch of plaques around them or staff around them, out there taking the heat, literally. And I think that's what Trump failed to do. He didn't come clean with us. He wasn't out there telling us what was going on with the pandemic day to day. If he had done it, I think he would have squeaked a second term. I really do. If he had handled it well, he could have gotten in there. And but he didn't. He appeased it. He put pushing it off, kicking the can down the road because he thought it would hurt his numbers, his job numbers. And it did hurt his job numbers, but it also hurt him politically. Yeah. But we want accountability, and politicians who are smart are out there taking questions, taking the heat. People like politicians taking the heat because it shows they're doing their job.
Was this a fun trip down memory lane, writing this book, kind of looking back on your political career?
I wanted to write it my whole life. I've always wanted to write this book. I wanted to write about, to brag, to be honest with you, to write about what it was like to be in Southern Africa and the Peace Corps and to have my own motorbike and to be able to travel out in the veldt where there's no white people or any Westerner or anybody like me, and being out there with all by myself teaching business to people who are wonderful to me. The people over there, people, human beings were human beings to me. And I got to see the world. I got to hitchhike up to Africa alone. I got to be on Air Force One. I wanted to talk about what it was like to be with a Selectric 2 on a plane taking off at 45 degrees angle, like Air Force planes do, and at a diagonal typing a speech for the next stop. I loved that. I had a great opportunity to be in the back room with Tip O'Neill, the legendary Tip O'Neill, every day hearing his stories about politics and watching him fight Ronald Reagan. But I also liked the music of politics, the idea that Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan were in a hospital room together at George Washington University Hospital. Reagan barely alive with half his blood supply gone and barely surviving that shooting, that attempted assassination, and Tip leaning over him and kissing him, and then they prayed the 23rd Psalm together. I mean, just with nobody else around, except one guy who caught this, Max Friedersdorf, a friend of mine, who happened to be there because he was congressional relations. Politics can be really sweet. It can be really amazing. I wish these guys would get together and cut a couple of big deals for the country.
Yeah, and they may do that. We'll see. But what a great story. Chris, thanks so much for sharing this with us. We really appreciate it.
You're very nice having me on.
Take care. Bye-bye.